This topic of forgiveness is really very unique and exclusive to our Christian faith. You don't see it in other religions. You don't see this kind of teaching on the need to forgive one another. And yet, this is a core principle that we see, a core part of living our faith as Christians. And while forgiveness doesn't get us into heaven, forgiveness is indication of how we live our lives if we're on our way to heaven.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today, Dr. Randy continues his teaching, Leave the Junk Behind. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And I do appreciate having the opportunity to spend a few minutes with you today and to take you over from our live studio here to where we record our teaching with my staff and visitors and continue this series on Leave the Junk Behind. We're talking about forgiveness. And, you know, I heard that little clip about forgiveness. Well, you heard me say it's not your action that's going to get you into heaven, but it's His forgiveness that's going to get you into heaven. So forgiveness is certainly a part of getting into heaven. Without it, you can't. And it's His forgiveness for us. And, you know, as the scripture says, and we'll talk about this more, you know, we're to forgive as we've been forgiven. It's a powerful spiritual principle, and it's a life-altering, just practical experience in life. When we carry unforgiveness, it bogs us down. And so we're going to continue to experience the freedom through forgiveness. We'll get to the teaching in just a moment. And coming up a little bit later, we've got some comments from some of our staff on this topic. We'll get to those as well. Just before we take you over to the teaching studio, though, I want to remind you here in midweek that, you know, we've been talking about the launch of the Intentional Love Marriage Conference Series. It begins in Central Coast, California, San Luis Obispo. And we're only, 48 hours away or so. It's this Friday night. And I'm going to invite you, if you have been waiting to get your tickets, Central Coast of California, to check out what we have available at our website. Availability is limited seating, and you can find it on the web to find out on that by going to theintentionallife.com. Okay? All right, let's begin the series again today on Leaving the Junk Behind.
There's a parable that this is really where I started with our small group this last week. I was asked to talk about the parable on forgiveness in Matthew chapter 18. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. You probably have heard it. And it's interesting because Jesus was a speaker of parables. He used parables to share great lessons and messages. And some of his parables were sort of, you had to understand them and dissect them. And frankly, he shared some parables to even still hide some of the truth, as it says in Scripture, that people were not yet to know. But Matthew 18 isn't one of those. The parable here is clearly spoken to his disciples, to his followers. He's got his disciples, he's got his followers around him. And Peter comes to him and says, Lord, how many times should we forgive? Should we forgive seven times? He thought, hey, that's pretty good. Looking at some of the commentators, they were saying in the Jewish tradition, you forgive three times, three strikes and you're out. That was that was the way you kind of lived your life. You'd forgive people three times and then the fourth time, not so much. So Peter's saying, hey, should we forgive seven times, thinking, hey, I've covered this deal. And Jesus comes back and says, no, Peter, you're to forgive 77 or 70 times seven, right? That you're to forgive an enormous amount of times. And then he gives this parable. He says, Peter, let me tell you about this king and this servant. And the servant comes to the king and he owes him 10,000 talents. And he's saying to the king, please forgive me my 10,000 talents. Well, I looked up what's a talent? A talent, 10,000 talents is about 9 million ounces of whatever it is. And probably looking at the biggest thing, it'd be gold. 9 million ounces of gold today is over $11 billion. So this servant comes to the king and says, would you forgive me $11 billion? And the king says, yes, I'll forgive you. And then the parable goes on at that same servant, goes out the door, right, and runs into another servant. Now we're not talking vertically, we're talking horizontally. You see the spiritual implication, how this is unfolding. And this other servant he owes the guy that was just forgiven $11 billion. He owes him just a small amount, 100 denarii, which is about 100 days of wages. Now, that's still a lot. It's about a third of a year. It's not like $5. There's still quite a bit there. But he comes to him and says, I'll do my best and I'll pay you back, but will you forgive me? And this servant who was just forgiven $11 billion takes him by the neck, right? And he throws him over, it says to Scripture, throws him over to the torturers. It says, you will not be released until you pay me back. And then, of course, the king hears about this, and the king calls him back in and says, how could you do that when you've been forgiven so much? And then it says in verse 35 of Matthew 18, so my heavenly Father also will do to you, to each of you, if you from your heart don't forgive your brothers their trespasses. That's troubling, isn't it? I mean, really, truly, this is truly a troubling topic for Christians. Someone in our study the other night pointed out that this topic of forgiveness is really very unique and exclusive to our Christian faith. You don't see it in other religions. You don't see this kind of teaching on the need to forgive one another. And yet, this is a core principle that we see, a core part of living our faith as Christians. And while forgiveness doesn't get us into heaven, forgiveness is indication of how we live our lives if we're on our way to heaven. Does that make sense? And again, it's not intended to share this to put guilt on people, because we all wrestle with periods of unforgiveness. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, because like that airplane being pulled, turned upside down, the junk's got to come out, and you got to see what it is. You've been through a divorce, you got to at some point turn your life over and let the junk fall out and see what's going on. If you've been through illness, you got to turn your life over. If you've been through something that really you feel wronged, and of course we know sometimes it's a lot. Some of the stories, I mean, you see these stories where people, Christian families that have a child that's murdered or something that's just awful, and you wonder, how in the world could you ever get to a place of forgiveness? And I think what Jesus is saying is, if I've forgiven you $11 billion, can't you forgive someone for 100 days of wages? It's a hard lesson.
This is Intentional Living, and Dr. Randy will be back in a moment to continue Leave the Junk Behind from the Transition Series. When you become a new monthly member, you'll receive our Intentional Living New Member Kit, which is a box filled with some really cool stuff. And every month, you'll receive Dr. Randy's great teachings on CD. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press option number 4. Don't go away. Dr. Randy will be right back.
Do you have a hard time forgiving people who have done something wrong to you? And maybe you feel like you don't owe someone forgiveness unless they've asked for it.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
Maybe you find yourself carrying hurt and unforgiveness for a really long time, even though there's nothing you can do to change it. Lack of forgiveness hurts the person carrying the hurt far more than it hurts the person who needs to be forgiven. And oftentimes, the person who has hurt you has done so without even being aware of that hurt. It's not a burden worth carrying, and the release opens up a new level of relationship with God. It's a manifestation of His love and grace for us. If we don't learn how to forgive, then how can we really feel the gift of being forgiven by God? For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. With your gift to the ministry, you'll receive not only today's program, but all of them from this multi-part teaching. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-1717, and press number 4. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues his teaching from Leave the Junk Behind from the Transition Series.
So, when we think about forgiveness, what some things that forgiveness really is not in our lives? I think it's really important to understand this. Don't confuse unforgiveness with occasional anger and hurt in your life, okay? We all have that. Someone's wronged you, you've been hurt, whatever, and you're going to have feelings. It's not reasonable, and I don't believe it's the teaching of Christ that we're not going to have periods where we're going to be angry and upset. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying, because he's saying it's from your heart. It's this deep, abiding, overtaking, where your life is controlled with unforgiveness. We all have moments of unforgiveness. Someone's wronged you a little bit, you got a little bit of hurt. Someone's harmed you a lot, you got a lot of hurt. And so that's the natural part of the way that we're wired as human beings. And it doesn't mean it's just going to go away tomorrow. Maybe you've been through a hurt that was 10 years ago, and all of a sudden that person's name comes up or situation, and you have some feelings. That's not unnatural. I think that's a natural part of life. You're going to experience that. We're talking about the kind of unforgiveness that starts to consume your heart and overtake you. Does that make sense in terms of this transitions that we go through in life? I think a second thing that unforgiveness isn't, don't confuse unforgiveness with sadness. Yeah. There's sadness, right? I think sometimes we confuse those two. It's okay to be very, very sad. You've had a divorce, that's something to be sad about. You've had a child who's walked away from the Lord, that's okay to be sad. You've had someone who's wronged you, it's okay to be sad. Sadness or your feelings are okay. Those are not wrong. God's given us those things in our life. I think another thing is don't confuse unforgiveness with consequences. And I think this is really important. Sometimes I think as Christians, we think that if we forgive someone, that means we let them off the hook. The fact is, there are consequences for sin. And if someone breaks into your house and steals your stuff, you will need to forgive them at some point. You've got to forgive them. But it also means you need to lock the door, right? And it also means there's a consequence for that kind of behavior. So we don't confuse this thing of forgiveness with the fact that there are consequences in life. And I don't believe that the Scripture teaches anything other than that. So as we think about this transitions in our life and how it relates to being a forgiving person, understanding what the Bible teaches, let me just ask you to do a heart check for each of you here. This is for you, you know? You take from this whatever it is that speaks to your heart on this topic. Is there a person in your family, if I were to mention their name, you know that you have unforgiveness? Is there an institution or a group of people, when you think of them, that rise up in you and you realize there's a dominance of unforgiveness in your life? Is there a situation from your past, something that's happened to you or to me? Because we collect stuff over life like Velcro, don't we? It kind of sticks to us. Are there things that we've picked up over our life that have stuck to us, and we know that it's an issue of unforgiveness? If I were to mention a situation, would that affect you in a way that you realize it's not just thinking about it, but it lingers in my life? I think of it here in our own ministry, working together. Is there a coworker that we would have here now or in the past that there's unforgiveness? You know, the Bible tells us, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, right? We see that in Ephesians chapter 4, that we are to be angry but do not sin. And I think so often the kind of anger that we can have about someone or about some situation should lead us into holiness and not into unforgiveness, see? There's where the sin can occur in our life. Is there a person in your church? You know, I think this is really prevalent in churches. You know, you got the closeness of those relationships and the expectations of what should happen. And some of you all have been burned in churches, been in relationships where you've been burned. You've been hurt. And when I mention the name of a church or a pastor or whatever, or even here, when I think about our relationships or your relationship with me or with each other, unforgiveness, what that means, what it can do. So how do we know? And I asked this question as I was preparing for our discussion with our small group. How do you know when you forgive? How do you know if this is a problem for you? Right? Because what my guess is in this room, you're all experiencing different things. Some of you are saying, no problem. Great. Either it is, or you've been able to stuff it, or you're a very sensitive person and you're thinking about something and thinking, now, is that on forgiveness? And those of us who can obsess on things can think, well, God must not love me because I'm thinking about some situation in the past and there's a lot of hurt associated with it.
Well, we'll have more to share on unforgiveness and the power of forgiveness in our final session tomorrow. But don't leave, because coming up in just a minute or so, some of the staff that were there and visitors chose to share with us their experience on forgiveness. And we'll pass the mic around and you'll hear some of our staff talk about this further. You know, this ministry is 100% supported by listeners. We don't have any big grants, government underwriting. We just rely on you all. The fact that you, together with us, standing together in support of making a difference and getting this message out around the world, make it possible. And I want to challenge you, if you're not a member, to come and join us today. $1 a day in support of the ministry, 4 quarters a day, $1 a day, $30 a month. What a difference that'll make. I want to send you 2 of our best-selling books, The Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection. We'll autograph both and get them to you, along with teaching in this transition series. And then every month, a brand new teaching from me to you to say thank you for your support. You can sign up very quickly. Come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. Also, by the way, just a reminder, the San Luis Obispo Intentional Love Marriage Conference. Boy, this Friday, check out tickets when you're at the website, okay? Again, I asked the staff to share with us their experiences about forgiveness. Take a listen.
Well, one thing that I try to remember is that before it's an offense to me, it's an offense to Christ. Mm. And that really kind of levels my need for vengeance. You know, it's Christ paid the punishment for anyone's sin against me. It's already finished. It's done. It's taken care of. Mm. And so that makes it that much more easier to kind of filter through that and to get to that place where I can forgive.
Good, thank you.
Well, first of all, my mom always had such a forgiving heart. I think that I learned through her, so it's always been easy for me to forgive. But my brother Nick and I haven't spoken in 6 years, and his daughter Priscilla, which all of you hear me talk about all the time, she's like my daughter. She lost her mom when she was 11. When she had her second child, it was by a man that my brother did not approve, and they weren't married. And he had called me, and he said, I want her to get an abortion, and I want you to talk to her. And I said, I can't do that. And this man had walked out of her life. And I said, what I can do is I want to talk to her about adoption, because she wasn't in a good place to keep the baby. But she decided to keep the baby, and she actually had 2 more boys with this man, and again, he's not in her life. But my brother has never met these 3 children who would be his grandchildren. They're beautiful boys. She's turned her life around. He lives a half an hour away from her. He hasn't seen her in 6 years. He has nothing to do with her. I've tried to talk to him. He won't take my calls. He changed his phone number, mm-hmm. Wrote letters. And the last letter I got from him, he said that I'm dead to him. Mm-hmm. And he's a Christian, and I love him. I love my brother dearly. But my heart breaks, because I've thought about this so many times and thought, is my brother going to go to hell because he can't forgive me. And I've asked the Lord if there's anything I can do, if there's anything I can do to help him, you know, forgive me. But, you know, I missed him. When my mom died 3 years ago, he wouldn't even talk to me about mom. You know, I wanted to just talk to him about our mother, and he wouldn't talk to me. Mm. And so that's what I struggle with when I hear stuff like this, because I feel like I just would kill me if something happened to him and he died and I thought he went to hell. I don't even know how I would live with myself, even though I know I did the right thing by standing by Priscilla and not, you know, supporting an abortion. So that's been a real...
Well, our hearts ought to break over that, you know, Cindy. And obviously, you don't decide on the heart of your brother. That's his decision. We should never take responsibility for someone else's heart. We can only take responsibility for our own and our own decisions toward another person. But the fact that that breaks your heart is the right thing. That's also evidence of your spiritual sensitivity. If it didn't, you should be concerned about that. But this is a big deal. I mean, it is. And I think, like your brother, there are many of us who, within our churches and community, who think it's okay. I mean, we can departmentalize this, our Christian experience, can't we? We go to church and we tithe and we listen to the messages and we sing the songs, and then we walk out the door and don't see the connection between what the Bible teaches and how we actually live. See, to me, it's not an issue of wrestling with stuff. Now, please understand, any of you here who are tend to be a little obsessive and compulsive and think, oh, wait, well, Randy's message today, I got some unforgiveness, I must be going to hell. That's not the heart of this message, and it's not the heart of Jesus. What he's saying is, if in your heart, at that deep level, if you find that you just can't forgive the 100-day debt, you can't forgive the small things in life, at least use it as sort of a test to say, How can you accept this forgiveness if you can't do this? See, it's sort of evidence of it. So you're probably right that you'd be concerned for your brother and pray for your brother. Pray for his spiritual soul that not only humanly speaking, lingering onto that kind of anger and hatred, but also the spiritual effect on his life. It's not an easy topic, okay? And I think sometimes we talk about forgiveness and kind of, well, we need to forgive, and we all know that. I didn't share anything about needing to forgive that was new today. I think what gets into the troubling part is when there's consequences if we don't. Or at least there's evidence of consequences. If you use it for nothing else than to say, hey, if we have an unforgiving heart, there's a spiritual consequence there. Okay, others, unforgiveness.
Well, I think that when you were sharing your message, I thought about how seriously Christ took that. That wasn't something that he just said, hey, do this. He proved it by his own words, the final words on the cross. Mm-hmm. As he was being nailed, he said, Father, forgive them. I mean, even before his own death, he knew this is something I need to take care of right now before this is done.
It's good.
I ran across a cool verse the other day. And it's in Psalm 86. It says, for you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive. Mm. And when I looked up that word, ready to forgive, it's a word in Hebrew. And that's the only place that it ever occurs is in that Psalm 86. And I was reminded when I did a study on confession a couple years ago, the word confess can mean confess, but it can also mean thanksgiving, or it can also mean praise. And if we had an attitude of confessing like that, then we could go to a God who not only forgives, but is ready to forgive. For our God to be ready to forgive is huge, because he's ready to forgive way before I'm ready to ask for forgiveness.
That's good. I called a couple years ago just out of absolute desperation. I had just found out that my husband had an affair, and I was pretty broken. And everybody in the world, except for possibly my mom, my dad, and my pastor, were telling me that I just needed to leave him and have a divorce and get on with my life. And I called you because I knew that I still loved him and I didn't know what else to do.
When hearts start to break and emotions run wild,
And when I called you, you were so encouraging because you prayed with me and you told me, you know, to just basically draw close to God and commit to work on it with my husband as long as he was willing to work on it, and God would pull us through.
Just when it seems that the race will not end, you will come to a place where the healing begins.
Now, 2 years later, and I'm very secure in our marriage right now, because I know that, you know, we both went through what we went through for a reason, and now I think we both see what we have to lose, and we cherish each other a lot more.
There is hope for the hopeless. There is no need to fear. When all seems lost, Jesus is here.
Wow, thank you for telling us that story. There is hope. You know, at the core of our mission and ministry, we talk about encouraging and providing hope and experiencing hope in Christ. And that happens when we choose to be intentional and walking our faith out every day. Thank you for telling us your story. By the way, if you have a story of forgiveness, 888-888-1717 is the number. When you call there, press number 4 and you can tell us your story. Okay? We'd love to hear. Oh, number 2, that's right. Number 4, though, during business hours, you can talk to our staff directly, and there, join us in membership. That was kind of a slide right into that, right? You know, your monthly support allows us to do the ministry of intentional living, and I just want you to know your support means a lot. And thanks to those of you who have been joining every month, allowing us to begin the process of preparing and sending to you ongoing encouragement on CD that you can listen to in your car or your home, from our teaching center here at Intentional Living. Again, come and join us. Just go to theintentionallife.com, all right? And then a reminder again, I just want to get this in because we're just 48 hours away from the Intentional Love Marriage Conference date night in San Luis Obispo this Friday night, 7 o'clock, Agape Church. If you want to check out ticket availability and information about the conference, which will be starting to move across the country throughout this year, the date night, this Friday, San Luis Obispo, go to theintentionallife.com. Tomorrow, 3 things to know how unforgiveness is a problem and how to deal with it. We'll be doing that tomorrow from Intentional Living.